May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. I used to be a priest in the valleys of Wales. And there, when you met somebody new, you didn't ask in the way that most people do, sort of, what do you do? What you asked was, and who are you belonging to? And because they didn't define themselves by what they did. They defined themselves by who they were related to. There was a saying in the valleys, kick one, and they all limp. What we have here in the gospel reading is something, as I sat with this in preparation for today, I saw something slightly different from the things that I've seen before. I saw that this was very, very much about identity and belonging. Identity and belonging. And this need for identity, to know who we are, and the sense of belonging, who we belong with, is something at the core of every human being. We all need this to be secure in who we are and who we belong to, who we're accepted by and who is close to us. And although that you can take each of the temptations and speak about each one, and I have done in the past, probably will do next Lent, the theme that's running through here is this, especially when you look at the Romans passage. It's this, that Jesus is being tempted to become isolated from God his Father. Jesus is being tempted to separate himself from the very Godhead that defines him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. To break up that sense of community and fellowship, which is the heart of being itself. And therefore, which is at the heart of the being of every human being. With each of the temptations, you see, the temptation is to split himself off from the will of the Father, from the Godhead, and also from, to break before it even begins, the new community in faith that Jesus has come to found. He is being distracted from the different way that he is establishing, a different way of being in the world. He speaks in other places of the devil, of Satan, being the god of this world, the one who has defined the way that we usually are. The bread. Bread that Jesus was tempted by can be used for self-indulgence, can't it? Food for self-indulgence. But it can also be used for hospitality. A companion is literally one who breaks bread and eats bread with me. Compane. The gifts that Jesus had, the supernatural gifts, could have been used, as Satan tried to tempt Jesus to do, for celebrity, that great idol of our present times. And it can also be used for healing in so many ways. Our worship, the thing that we love and the thing that we devote ourselves to, can be turned upon the ego self so that we do everything that we can to make ourselves seem bigger than we are. Or worship can be turned upon the God who lives and dwells within each one of us. Jesus could have gone, well, he couldn't, but the temptation was to go towards isolation and disintegration. Jesus chose community and integration, fellowship with the Father and the Spirit, and the establishment of a new community in his blood and by the power of his Spirit. And you notice that after the temptation has happened, at the end of the gospel, listen to this, when the devil left, the angels came. And so it is with us. Now we, as the church in this place, the church community in the place, we've been born into this new community, born again by the Spirit of God through our baptism. And we renew our commitment to this community in Christ every time we eat the bread and drink the wine. But the temptation is always there to receive these things in isolation for my own personal faith. The Reformation had many, many good things about it. But one of its perhaps more negative tendencies is for people to think that their faith is their own in isolation. I come to receive my communion and then I go away again. We are part of the Church of Christ. And in this place, we are called to build a community of faith in which we really do belong. And our identity is to be taken from there. And it's not just for us, but for all who will come. When our identity is in God, we become secure within ourselves. And you know, we can stop making ourselves feel better by criticizing others, which is a constant strategy for people who are insecure in themselves. And therefore, how we as a community, if we are called to build a community of faith in which we belong and others sense that they belong, in whom our identity, our corporate identity in Christ is at the heart of all we are and all we do, then how we hold ourselves in relation to one another is of vital importance, because it carries the gospel in it. So easy, isn't it, to be critical of others rather than appreciative of others. So easy to gossip. You hear something, pick up the phone. Did you hear? Just for prayer, I just want to let you know. Instead of being affirming of others to people's faith. So easy to exclude people so that people don't come in, especially if they make us feel uncomfortable, rather than embracing all who come. And our calling is definitely not to go the way of isolation and disintegration, but the way of integration and community, the way that Christ chose in the desert. To learn to be appreciative of one another, not critical. Affirming of each other, not gossiping. Embracing of each other, not excluding. See, our faults and failings are all too clear, aren't they? You just have to know somebody 5 minutes and you can always begin to detect their faults and failings. I'm sure you'll have a list of mine already, those of you who've got to know me a bit. But you know that our faults and failings are simply the shadow side of our talents and gifts. If you're oversensitive and take hurt and umbrage easily, you realize it's possible, probable, that you have a great gift of being able to, of empathy, to be able to empathize with others' sufferings and to be able to listen and help them in their distress. Or it may be that you know that your faults and failings are that you're just too powerful. You go rushing in like a bull in a china shop and you don't take enough care of other people's feelings. Yes, that's a fault and failing of some. But you know, we need people like that because they get things done. Things don't happen without people like that. So let's be absolutely clear. Everyone who's sitting here will have their faults and failings and we'll be aware of them, won't we? But let's see what the other, that's the shadow side. What's the glory side of that? What's the shining side of that? What are their gifts and skills and abilities that we can learn to appreciate? It's our calling, after all, to follow Christ and to invest in the community of faith and to live our life in the community that is the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. St. Paul says this in his letter. the act of righteousness of one, he's talking of Jesus here, leads to justification and life for all. I want to see our church grow. I don't know if you do. If you do, then it will be challenging, because when new people come, they'll change the character of our church, because they'll bring their own personality and their own ideas. That will be uncomfortable. And we'll have a balancing act, won't we? We'll need to think about what we preserve and then how we change, and there'll have to be negotiation. And unless that's all bounded with the love of Christ and with the grace of Christ, we could disintegrate. But it doesn't have to be that way. As people come, to hold them close, to hold one another close now, and newcomers as they come, to hold them close. And always have appreciative inquiry. What is it that I can appreciate about this person? This church is called to be a place of life for all. Amen.